Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. God is so good. I want to say, if you were not at the prayer meeting Friday night, you missed something great. God was there. God was moving. God was bringing us together. I encourage you to be at the next prayer meeting. Check the Church Center app or the announcements that are going on, and look for the next time that there's a prayer meeting going. It's just a great time to pray together and bring our needs together before God and to reach out for this community together. Couple announcements for you. If this is your first time here, or if this is one of your first times here or listening, we're so glad to have you here. If you're worshiping in person, you can head to the Welcome Center right outside. We'll just ask for a few points of information, and then we have a small gift for you. And if you're online, you go to the bit.ly link you see right there. We just have a couple questions for you. We'd love to get you, love to get to know you better. And if there's some questions you have for us, we'd love to answer those as well. If you feel compelled to give, there's offering boxes posted at the entrances to the sanctuary. You can mail in the offering. You can go to our website, or you can give right through the Church Center app. Once again, there's a lot of great stuff on the Church Center app. I encourage you to download it, get connected. Some upcoming events, January 13th, 14th, and 15th. So today's the 5th. That means that's next Monday. We're going to have our all-church 3 days of prayer and fasting. Okay, and pastor, you know, keep praying for our pastor. He's out on vacation, and I'm not saying pray for him for anything bad. Pray for him that he gets, you know, relaxed and refreshed and renewed and just having a great time, right? But when we talk about these 3 days of prayer and fasting, we're talking about finding some extra time to connect with God and finding some time and maybe some things we need to set aside. Right? We're not going to go into a fasting Bible study this morning, but what are some things that God is calling you to fast? Say, I'm going to set this aside to focus more on God. A lot of times that's food in the Bible, but start praying about what God wants you to do for that. But January 13th, 14th, and 15th, the whole church will be joining together in prayer and fasting. And then on January 30th through the 31st is the Wisconsin Midwinter Camp Meeting. That's held at Parkway Church in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, just on the kind of southeast side of Milwaukee. Its services are at 7 p.m. on the 30th and the 31st, and everyone's encouraged to go. You could, you know, you might even find somebody else that's going here and carpool together, but I would encourage that. So a lot of good things coming up. Could you stand with me this morning? We just want to pray. We've had our 10 a.m. Bible study. Pastor Phil did an awesome job. God is moving. God is here. But let's just pray that God has his way in this service. That the things of this week and the things of today and the things of next week are just kind of not distractions, but that we are focused on God. Wherever you're at, whether you've been coming to church your whole life or this is your first time, I challenge you, I encourage you to just take this time and just say, I'm going to focus on God. Whatever that looks like for your situation, let's focus on God. Let's pray that he's here, okay? Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for being here, for this service, God, for this place, God, for your presence, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would hear us, God, as we worship you. Lord, that our worship would go up as a sweet-smelling savor, like your word says, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your presence would be here, touching every heart and every mind. God, let us leave different. Let us leave having connected with you, God, today. Let your presence and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship with us this morning.
Awesome, awesome, Lord, you are awesome. Oh, come on, say you dance. Oh, With all power in his hand, my Jesus. conquered my enemies. He put them on the back. Hero,
hero,
in glory,
in glory,
with all power,
all power,
and authority,
and authority.
He conquered,
conquered
my enemies.
Enemies.
He put them
on the back.
He's alive. Jesus, your presence, when I'm at
worship Him today. Thank you, Jesus. God, You're worthy. God, we give You the worship this morning. We give You the honor this morning. We give You the glory, God. There is none like You, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be Your name. Whew. God is good. God is good. Be careful. If we ask Him to baptize us with the Spirit and fire, He might just do that. Praise God. I wanted to say, keep our pastor and Sister Lois in your prayers, not for anything bad, but they're on vacation. There's nothing worse than being on vacation and thinking about work and being not relaxed and not rejuvenated and not renewed. And so just keep praying that God renews and refreshes and rejuvenates them and that they have a good time. And then question, youth, how was Winter Youth? Was that good? Yeah, a couple people? That's good. Okay. We'll think about if we do it again next year. I get it. That's okay. It was a good time. No, the guys said they had a good time, so praise God. You know, you could be seated today. If you have your Bibles or your app, I'm going to be reading from Jeremiah 42 today. We're going to be reading the whole chapter. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. We're not going to do it all at once, but we're going to read the whole chapter. But you know, we're jumping kind of right into the middle of the Bible. It makes sense that I should give you a little backstory, okay? So you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was out. Okay, that's a little too far back. But we know that God created the world, and you know Adam and Cain and Abel and all this, right? And then we hear about this figure named Abraham. And Abraham is God's chosen person that will be the father of all generations. And then there's Abraham and there's Isaac and there's Jacob. And God makes this promise with Abraham that I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you a people. I'm going to make your name great. People that bless you will bless you will be blessed, and people that curse you will be cursed. And so we hear of Abraham and Isaac and Isaac's son Jacob. And then Jacob has a son named Joseph who's sold into slavery into Egypt. And so there's a famine that happens in the land, and all the families of Abraham go to Egypt to hang out with Joseph to be saved. And then years pass. We're getting a lot of the Old Testament done here this morning. Then years pass, and God delivers them through Moses out of Egypt into the promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey. And then we read through Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And we start hearing these stories about all the kings that came. You hear about Saul and David and Solomon. And you hear about all these kings, and some kings were good and some kings were bad. And along the way, there were prophets. And little by little, these prophets started to say, listen, if you are disobedient, if you are not following what God has called you to do, if you're not keeping God first, if you're not obeying and staying in this land, I'm going to send an army against you. And so we read in 2 Kings 25 and in Jeremiah 39 that the Babylonians with King Nebuchadnezzar attack the Israelites, attack the nation of Israel. And it says, this is King Nebuchadnezzar, they breached the walls, they destroyed the temple of God. They captured the king of Judah, and then they take many of the Israelites captive with them to Babylon into exile. So set the stage here, right? This people, God's chosen people, has been attacked by Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. The city is breached. The temple is destroyed. Their king is captive. And a huge number of the people are taken captive to Babylon. This is the period in the Bible known as the Babylonian exile. It's the same exile where Daniel, who was also taken to Babylon with you know, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was their names in the future. Ezekiel was a prophet, was also taken to Babylon. And this was prophesied. They were warned by Isaiah and Ezekiel and Zephaniah and Jeremiah that this attack was coming. And so after the Nebuchadnezzar attacks and takes everybody on his way out, he's like, listen, I'm going to leave a little bit of you people here. We're going to call it I don't know if he called it this, but they were called the remnant. A small group of Israelites that could stay there. And he left a man in charge named Gedalia as governor. He was a Hebrew man. As governor over the group that remained, the remnant. And that's all in Jeremiah 39 through 40. But in 41, we are introduced to a second man named Ishmael. He's a member of the royal family, the kings of Israel. And he decides that he doesn't like how friendly his brother, not brother, physical brother, but his Hebrew brother is with Babylon. And he says, I'm going to go kill Gedalia, the governor. And he kills Gedalia and he kills some Babylonian soldiers and he captures some of the people. Boy, it sounds like he's doing a lot like Nebuchadnezzar did. He captures some of the remaining Hebrew people from Judah, including women and children, and he starts to go off with them. But a third man, we'll leave out the names, you're going to get confused. But a third man pursues them with an army and captures back the people and takes them back to Judah. And so this leads us to our passage in Jeremiah 42. We're on the same page, right? King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon has taken everybody away except this small remnant. There's infighting between Gedalia and Ishmael and Jahadan. See, I told you we'd get confused. We start adding more names. Right? There's infighting. There's nobody around. The city is in shambles. The temple is destroyed. The king is gone. And even The people are fighting against each other. And so we enter into Jeremiah 42, and we're going to start reading, and I'll jump in and out of these verses, and I'll thank Sister Jane in advance because we have a lot of verses this morning. Verse 1, it says, then all the commanders of the armies, along with Johanan and Kareah and Jezaniah and Hoshaniah and all the people from the least to the greatest, approached the prophet Jeremiah. So remember I said Ezekiel and Daniel ended up getting, well, Jeremiah stayed. Jeremiah was part of the remnant that stayed. They approached the prophet Jeremiah and said, may our petition come before you. Pray to the Lord your God on our behalf, on behalf of this entire remnant, for few of us remain out of the many, as you can see with your own eyes. That's not me adding that. That's right in there. For few of us remain out of the many, as you can see with your own eyes, that the Lord your God may tell us the way we should go and the thing we should do. Have we ever been in that situation? Where everything around us seems like it's out of control. Maybe you haven't been in a kingdom where a king has totally ransacked your city and taken your king and destroyed the temple where you serve your God. Maybe we haven't been there, but we've been in this situation where we're sitting there, we're like, we don't know what to do. And they turned to the man of God and they said, tell that the Lord your God may tell us the way we should go and the thing we should do. I've been there. I've been there wondering which way I should go sometimes. I've been there asking what thing I should do because it seems like everything is against me. It seems like the place that I am in is not the place I should be anymore because it just doesn't make sense why I should be in this place when nobody else is in this place, when the house of God is not in this place, when my king is not in this place, when everything is in shambles and most of the people are out of this place. And so you sit there and say, which way should I take? And what thing should I do? And so they turned to the prophet and they said, ask God this. So the prophet Jeremiah said to them, I have heard, I will now pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and I will tell you every word that the Lord answers you. I won't withhold a word from you. And they said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we don't act according to every word that the Lord your God sends you to tell us. Whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, we will obey the Lord our God to whom we are sending you so that it may go well with us. We will certainly obey. We will certainly obey the Lord our God. So they asked Jeremiah what to do. He says, I'm going to give you word for word, just so you know. I'm going to tell you word for word what God says. And they said, don't worry, we're going to obey it because we want to know the way we should go and the thing we should do. Essentially, they're saying, God, it's a mess. Everyone's gone. There's few of us left. This place is in shambles. This land is, what is this land? This is, why are we even here? Why does it matter? And sometimes we feel this way. We say, God, I'm following you. I'm living for you, but it seems bleak. I'm trying to live according to your word. I'm trying and nothing is working. Nothing is happening. In fact, God, it seems to be getting worse. Verse 7. And at the end of the 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. At the end of 10 days, sorry. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he summoned Johanan, son of Kareah. All the commanders of the armies were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest. It must have been a small remnant, because they're talking about how like everyone was there, the least to the greatest. So they could probably all be there, right? From the least to the greatest, and Jeremiah said to them, "This is what the Lord says, the God of Israel, to whom you sent to me to bring your petition before him." He's saying, this is what God says. And he said, I'm going to give you word for word. This is what God said. If you will stay in this land, then I will rebuild and not demolish you. And I will plant and not uproot you, because I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought on you. God is telling them to stay in the land. It may not look like it, but this is still the land that I promised Abraham. It may not look like it, but this is still the land that I promised Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. This is still the land where you will see the promise. This is still the land where you get to grow and you get to multiply and be blessed and to bless others. He said this, it doesn't mention it specifically, but the promised land is the same promised land of Abraham and Isaac. Genesis 26:1, this is really interesting. Watch the phrasing here. There was another famine in the land in addition to the one that occurred in Abraham's time. So this is in Isaac's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, at Gerar. The Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land that I tell you about. Stay in this land. Stay in the land as an alien, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For I will give you all these lands to you and your offspring, and I will confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give your offspring all these lands, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring." Why? "Because Abraham listened to me and kept my mandates, my commands, my statutes, and my instructions." It's not just about a piece of land, church. It's not just about this church building or this fellowship of people. We're not talking about stay in your pew or stay at Calvary Gospel. We're not saying stay in Madison. He's saying what got this blessing was Abraham obeyed God. This is the land, but you have to stay here. Stay in the land. Stay in the process of following Jesus. Stay in the process of facing the difficulties, of facing our fears, of growing in adversity. Stay in the process of prayer and Bible reading and fasting. Oh, but you don't know, the king is gone and the temple is destroyed and the city is gone and the remnant and all the other people are there and there's just a small few of us. You don't understand. And God is saying, stay in the process of where I have you, because the promise follows the process. The promise is not dependent on the current situation. The promise is not dependent on who the ruler of the land is or who is in control of how many people are still around. The promise is dependent on obedience. The promise follows the process. And so God is saying, stay in the land. Don't leave the land. Don't leave the process. The enemy might seem victorious. There might be infighting amongst you. The city may be destroyed, things look bleak, but stay in the land, because this is where the promise is. Verse 11. So this is still God talking through Jeremiah. I interrupted God there. I apologize. Verse 11. "Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon." Let's go back. He said, "Stay in the land. I will plant and not uproot, and I will relent concerning the disaster, and I will rebuild and not demolish." Okay, verse 11. "Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Don't be afraid of him." This is the Lord's declaration. "Because I am with you to save you and rescue you from him." God, you're about a couple days late, sir. They're all gone. They took everybody. The temple's destroyed. But God is saying, "I am with you to save you and rescue you from him. I will grant you compassion, and I will have compassion on you and allow you to return to your own soil." God is saying, don't fear Babylon. I am with you. He said, stay in the land, and I will. What does he say in these three verses? He says, I will rebuild, I will plant, I will save, I will rescue, I will show compassion. Stay in the land. The promised land may look different than when Abraham got there, but it's still the promised land, so stay in the land. Stay in the process. He continues in verse 13. Notice they haven't said anything yet, okay? He just keeps going. So God says, but if you say, we will not stay in this land in order to disobey the Lord your God, and if you say, no, instead we will go to the land of Egypt where we will not see war, we will nor hear the sound of the ram's horn or hunger for food, and we'll live there. Essentially, we're not going to die here. This is God. This is not them. He's saying, I know what you're about to say. I know you're about to say that you'd rather go to Egypt because you want to avoid war and hearing the ram's horn and being hungry for food and dying. I know that's what you're going to say, but it seems to me like you're saying you'd rather go back to being slaves. It seems to me you'd rather go back to the land of being enslaved and in bondage than to stay in this land, than to face the things that are in front of you. Church, this is where we're at. God has delivered us from sin. In the Bible, Egypt is a way to describe what sin is. God has delivered us from sin, and he's delivered the people from sin, from Egypt, and they're saying, maybe, you know, things are bad. Maybe my lifestyle of sin is better. Maybe choosing the things of this world is better. Maybe slavery, they wouldn't use that word, because to them it was just like, at least if we go down there. I asked my kids one time, I'm like, why would they want to go back to Egypt? And my daughter, who's very process-oriented, was like, well, at least you know what's happening and when. She's like, this is work. It's horrible, but it's work. I know I have to wake up and work every day, and I know I got to go to bed, and I know I'm going to get whipped, and I know I'm going to get garbage for food, but at least I know. It's simple, but there's no growth. There's no multiplication. There's no blessings in Egypt. The blessings are in the land. They're effectively saying, we would like to choose the old life of slavery over fighting for what God has given us. We choose slavery over obedience and growth. We choose slavery over hard work. And God says, if you choose to go to Egypt because you want to avoid war, you don't want to hear the trumpet, you don't want to be hungry anymore, and you're going to live. Let's see what he says in verse 15. Then hear the word of the Lord, remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. If you are firmly resolved to go to Egypt and stay there for a while, then the sword you fear will overtake you. There in the land of Egypt. And the famine you are worried about will follow on your heels there to Egypt, and you will die. All who resolve to go to Egypt to stay there for a while will die by the sword, famine, and plagues. They will have no survivor or fugitive from the disaster I will bring them. God is saying, if you will go to Egypt, if you will not stay in this land, but if you decide to go to Egypt to avoid war and to avoid famine and to avoid dying, when you get there, you will see war and you will see famine and you will die. Verse 16, going back a little bit, Sister Jane, it's very interesting here. I'm going to play with these words. He says, the sword you fear will overtake you, and the famine you are worried about. Church, there are fears and worries in people's lives. And we think that those fears and worries are going to go away if we change our location. But fears and worries don't go away when you change locations. That's what God's saying with you here. It's like, it's in this land that you can overcome these fears and worries. It's in the process of God, of following God's word, of prayer and fasting and Bible reading. That's where we overcome fears and worries. But if you go back to your life of sin, fear and worry will follow you and will kill you. The very thing you are trying to avoid will be with you. Your fears will overtake you. Your worries will follow you. God's telling them, Egypt's not the solution. Going back to that lifestyle of sin, although it seems distracting and it seems like you know what's coming and you can just sit on your couch and watch Netflix and go to work and come back and eat McDonald's and like none of those things are bad. I'm saying that it's just a thing I can do. I don't have to pursue God. I don't have to follow God's word. Oh, but God's telling me, Peter, you need to work on your mindset. I'm going to help you. God, that's difficult. You know, there's a lot of trauma in my past, and that's really caused me to have these mindsets and these beliefs, and I'd really rather not face that trauma. I'd really rather not face those bad things in my past. I'd really rather not face the things that are in the land that you have given me as a promise. And so I'd rather run to Egypt so I could just be distracted by the things I know that are coming. Egypt is not the solution. Leaving the promised land, leaving the process of following God is not the solution. Your fears and worries are not based on your locations, church. We're way past telling a story in the Old Testament now. We're talking about us. Your fears and your worries are not based on your location. Your fears and worries are not because of the job you're in. They're not because of the church you go to. They're not because of anything. They're because of the land you're wanting to go to. But if we will stay in the process, stay in the land, stay in following God's word, our fears and worries will be overcome. Our fears and worries are based on our lifestyle. They're based on our belief system. But they'll have the same fears and worries if we go back to Egypt. Verse 18, "For this is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. Just as my anger and fury were poured out on Jerusalem's residents, so will my fury pour out on you if you go back to Egypt. You will become an example for cursing, scorn, execration, and disgrace, and you will never see this place again. The Lord has spoken concerning you, remnant of Judah. Don't go to Egypt. Know for certain that I have warned you today. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to your sin and bondage. Don't go back to the place you were delivered from. Don't go back to our sinful lifestyles. These are distractions from your misery. They are distractions from your fear. They are distractions from your worry. Yes, the promised land is tough, but it is where you will grow and mature and be blessed and do what I've called you to do. Stay in the land, church. Stay in the land, church. Stay in the process, church. Stay in the process, no matter how bleak it seems in your situation. We got to stay in the process. But too often, Egypt seems like the best option. Too often. I'm there. It'd be a lot easier to have spent all last night watching movies than work on my message. Man, it'd be a lot easier to spend this week sleeping in, rolling into work at a decent time, coming home, eating a TV dinner and watching TV till 10 o'clock at night and going back to sleep and leaving prayer out of it. It'd be a lot easier to say, you know what, it doesn't matter if I get back into those sinful lifestyles. If I it's okay to be angry and treat people poorly and lust and have pride. You know, God delivered me from that, but really maybe it wasn't all that bad. It's in moments like that, God has to remind me what he brought me from. He has to remind me, hey, Peter, do you remember when you were in debt up to your eyeballs and creditors were calling you every other day? When you were bound by addiction, and you couldn't pray, and you couldn't read my word, and you had horrible, crazy thoughts about how the world hated you, and no one loved you. And he's like, is that the bondage you want to go back to? And I'm like, oh, that's right. We were getting whipped in Egypt. What? Why do I forget that sometimes? Egypt is not the answer. The process is the answer. But I think sometimes, church, we think that Abraham just plopped a tent in the land and sat around. No, it's about the obedience. We read in Genesis 26, it says, the promises of Abraham are there because he listened to me and kept my mandates, my commands, my statutes, and my instructions. Don't go back to Egypt. Egypt is not the best option. I will tell you, living for God is not always easy. But living in Egypt sure ain't easy either. And sin leads to death. Verse 20, you have gone astray at the cost of your lives. There's another version that says, you have led yourselves astray. You have gone astray at the cost of your lives because you are the ones who sent me to the Lord your God saying, now I believe this is Jeremiah. You are the one who sent me to the Lord your God saying, pray to the Lord our God on our behalf. And as for all that the Lord says, tell us and we'll act accordingly. Jeremiah's like, I'm telling you exactly what he told me. But you've led yourselves away. You've gotten back to this thinking that somehow believes that slavery and your bondage of sin is the better option. Church, there's a principle here that the promise is in the land. The promise is not in this building, these walls. The promise is not on this property on 5301. The promise is not in the United Pentecostal Church International. The promise is not in Calvary Gospel Church International. We're international. We have churches everywhere. The promise is in following and obeying God, of sticking in the process, even when he's trying to work on you and it's a little difficult at times. Even when he's trying to mold you and you feel that pain as he's starting to have you face those fears and worries and traumas a little bit. You're like, God, I don't want to face those. Oh, you will if you go back to your sinful lifestyle, but I want to do something in you. I want to plant and I want to build and I don't want to uproot you, but I want to plant and build and bless you and do something great, but you got to stay in the land. You got to stay in the process. You got to do what I'm asking you to do. Oh, but Brother Peter, that's so hard. Yes, it's hard. Sin is easier for a season. And then you wake up one morning and realize you're in debt up to your eyeballs and creditors are calling you every day and you have wrong thoughts and wrong mindsets and you're isolated and you don't have friends and you're struggling with addiction. You have gone astray at the cost of your lives. The promise is in the land. The promise is in the process. It's us who choose to leave the process. That's why you read the Bible and it seems like there's this horrible vindictive God. Even here, he's like, I'm going to destroy you. No. Let's not walk away from this voice. We should have the fear of God. But what God is saying is very clear. If you are in my process, there is blessings. If you are not in my process, there is death. You are choosing to leave my process to go to Egypt. And so don't walk away this morning thinking like Peter's trying to scare us into not. No, I'm not scaring you anything. Okay? If you need to stop for gas in Oakland at 3 in the morning, there's places to do it and there's places to not do it. Right? I've learned that lesson. Verse 21, for I have told you today, but you have not obeyed the Lord your God in everything he has sent me to tell you. Now therefore know for certain that by the sword, famine, and plague you will die in the place where you desired to go. To stay for a while. Well, Brother Peter, you know, I believe in the land, I believe in the process, but I'm just going to take a little while over here. I'm just going to take a little while over here and just relax for a while in Egypt. In the manicures and the spas of Egypt, they have mud baths. I'm just going to relax over here where I don't have responsibilities. I don't have to prepare for a message or a Sunday school. I don't got to put on a smile when I see somebody with a need and say, God loves you. It's just easier to just veg out on my couch. It's easier just to say, I'm going back to this life of sin. But it's just a while. I'll be back. It's just a while. I'll be back. And next thing you know, a lot of time has gone by. And that's the end of Jeremiah 42. It's a lot in that chapter. I wish I could say the story ended well because I want my message to end there. It's such a good thought. It's a good mindset. I wish I could tell you the story ended well and that they heeded the word of God, but they did not. It actually gets really ugly. And I'm not going to read through all of 43 and 44 for you, but I'm going to read a couple verses. And these are not going to go up on the screen, okay? And so the men of Judah and all the greatest to least and all this, it says then Azariah and Hoshaniah and Johanan and Kareah and all the other arrogant men, this is in the Bible, responded to Jeremiah. They tell Jeremiah he is lying, and then they take everyone to Egypt. And verse 40, chapter 43, verse 7, it says, they did not obey the voice of the Lord. And then in chapter 44, it says, by leaving the land, you have cut off everyone from Judah. Why are you doing this terrible harm to yourself? Remember I said this is an us choice? It's not a God choice. God says, here's blessings. Here's death. Why are you choosing Why are you doing terrible harm to yourself? You've gone to Egypt for a while. I'm reading the Bible here. This is me. By leaving the process, by giving up, by seeking the easy path, you have cut yourself off from the promise. The promise is here, church. The promise is there, but we have to walk in it. We have to stay in the land. Verse 12 of 44 says, everyone who went to Egypt will die in Egypt. They will meet their end in the land of Egypt. They will fall by the sword. They will die by the famine. And the things they feared and worried about will kill them. And you will be an example. Man, I wish this story ended differently. In verse 29, the end of chapter 44, when they're finishing up this part of the story, it says, and I will punish you in this place. I will punish you in this land. Church, it was never about the land. It was about the obedience. It was about following God. Because if we want to get cute here, God told Jacob to go to Egypt to be saved. And in that case, this is before Egypt was known as the sin, because that's where they held in bondage. He told them to go to Egypt. It's not about the land. It's about the process. Sin only promises death. Sin looks good. It looks easy, but it brings death. And God's judgment follows disobedience. In fact, if we go back to the beginning of the story, the whole reason King Nebuchadnezzar attacked and took everybody exile and destroyed the temple was because of their disobedience. They were in the land, church. They were staying in the land, but they were disobedient. And so God sent somebody to do an attitude correction. If the musicians could come, I'm getting ready to close. Church, God is telling us to stay in the land. Life is difficult. I know it's difficult wherever you are, but this world only brings bondage. This world only has slavery and death to offer. It might not look like it in the moment, but we know it because most of us have been delivered from some sort of bondage from this world. We have had our season. We have had our awhiles in Egypt, and God has delivered us out of that, and we remember what it was like to live in sin. Stay in the process. Stay in the land. Follow God. Follow his word. Seek to grow in him and be built by him. Because it's not about just putting a tent up in the land, church. It's about saying, God, I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to be more mature. I know you're going to have me face some things that I'm not comfortable with. But God's like, I'm going to have you keep facing them until you learn how to defeat them. I'm going to keep having you face that giant because you need to learn how to defeat it. Because someday you're going to need to learn how to defeat that giant for someone else. Follow God. Follow his word. Seek to grow in him and be built by him. I work with groups, people that struggle with addiction, and recovery groups, people that have been bound by their choices. They think that it's okay to look or taste or be a part of this part of the world, and little by little, that part just eats them alive and takes who they are and changes their mindsets. And the best advice I can give them in these times is that it was our choices that got us here. It's going to be our choices that get us out. Yeah, but that decision doesn't make sense, Peter. It doesn't make sense. Why would I stay here and do this thing? Why am I facing this fear? Because you never faced it. And until you do, you will have to. Yeah, but if I could just go to a life of sin. No, your fears will follow you. Your worries will overtake you. And so the advice I give so often is, we just got to face what's in front of us one step at a time. That's what normal people do. when in doubt, ask myself, what would my wife and I joke, what would a normal person do in this situation? We do. We seriously should be like, what would a normal person do in this situation? Because sometimes you feel like your brain's messed up. And you're like, I don't know if I'm thinking correct. Church, we can rid ourselves of our fears and worries by facing them with him. He has so many promises. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We shouldn't avoid war because God is fighting with us and for us. When you go to Egypt, God's not fighting with you or for you anymore. He said, you're choosing to be destroyed. But if you will stay in the land, I will fight your battles with you. I will fight your battles for you. And it's going to be painful at times, but I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and give you help, and I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. That doesn't sound like the God that says, go to Egypt where it's easy for a while and I'll take care of things. That's the God that says, stay in the land because I got your hand and I'm going to strengthen you. You don't have anything to fear. But what about the things I'm going to eat or drink or wear? You know, there's things to think about. Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. This is Jesus. What you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Don't worry about your life. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? The birds in the sky, they don't sow or reap or gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more worthy than they? Can any of you add one moment to his life by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? The wildflowers don't need worry about clothes. They don't labor and spin or thread. Even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not adorned like one of these flowers. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do so much more for you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the Gentiles seek these things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Stay in the land, church. Stay in the land. Stay in the land and seek God first and see if he doesn't provide. But it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult because not because God is difficult, but because we have put ourselves so far back from the things that we need to be addressing in our lives that God's like, Peter, I know, but I need you to face this mindset. I need to face this trauma. I need you to face this hurt because you need to overcome it because it's holding you back. Let's all stand. Stay in the land, church. Stay in the land. Don't walk away today thinking I'm talking about this building or this organization or this property or this pastor. I'm talking about stay in the process of God's word. Amen. Doing what it tells you to do every day. Even when it doesn't make sense, stay in the land because Egypt doesn't have anything to offer but slavery. And your fears and your worries that you think are a result of your land will follow you and overtake you. Stay in the land. Maybe you're here and you were in the land and you left the land. Maybe you're here and you've been thinking about giving up and going back to your old life because it just seems easier. And this walk with God thing is difficult at times. Maybe you've heard about the promises of God and you want to grow and learn and be built and you've never been to the land. Today's your chance. Today is your opportunity to make a commitment in your heart to say, I'm going to stay in the land, God. What you're calling me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on prayer. I'm going to focus on getting to know you more. I'm going to focus on, yes, coming to church. I'm going to stay in this land even when it seems difficult because, God, you and your promise are in this land. And so I encourage you. We always, at the end of every service, we offer people a chance to pray. Because if all I did was speak and we opened the doors and you'd walk out, you wouldn't have a chance to reflect. So I want to give you a chance to reflect, to pray, to go to God with whatever's on your heart. I believe that He is speaking into your hearts this very morning. Respond to that right now. You can come up to the front and stand. You can come up to the front and kneel. You can find a seat. Just come up and start talking to God. Praise God. This altar's open. This place, God is calling us to stay in the land. Wherever you are at, wherever you are from, come talk to God. Talk to God at the front. Talk to God where you're at. God is wanting to work in your life, to build in your life, to plant in your life. There's so many blessings He has for you.
We have this confidence because I've seen the faithfulness of God, the still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word, enough to seek your kingdom first, beyond the barren place, beyond the ocean waves. When I walk through the waters, I won't be overcome. When I go through the rivers, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. There isn't one that is lame, so I will not lose heart. Here I will lift my arms and start to sing into the night.
Thank you.
I'll see.
God. Church, God is moving, but more importantly, God is doing a work in our hearts. He is doing a work. And so many times I talk to some of you and you're like, things are hard and I'm struggling with this sickness, or I'm struggling with this job, or I'm struggling with this mindset. And I just see it because I'm on the outside. I'm like, that's awesome because God's doing a work in you. Let's let God do a work in our lives. Keep it up. Stay in the land, church. God bless you. Have a great week.